One of my favorite scripture verses for this season is found in Genesis 16. Hagar, who was an Egyptian servant, a slave actually to Sarai, she finds that she's pregnant, and she's pregnant with Abraham's child, and she begins to despise her mistress. And as a result of that, Sarai is very upset, and she mistreats Hagar. Hagar then decides to flee. So she runs away, and she goes off into the desert. And the beautiful part about this story is that the angel of the Lord pursues her, and he begins to engage with her and ask her questions. You know, why is she there? What is she doing? And the angel of the Lord is just so tender. He not only asks her questions, but then he begins to give her instruction. And he commands her to actually go back to the place where she was, to go back and to submit to her mistress. After the angel of the Lord tells her that, he then gives her a promise that her descendants will be so numerous that she cannot count. And it's beautiful just to see Hagar's response to that, and that is found in the 13th verse in the 16th chapter. So she called the Lord who spoke to her, the God who sees, for she said, in this place have I actually seen the one who sees me. Her response is so powerful to me because it speaks about God's love and his compassion for his children. One of the things I also loved about this passage of scripture is it reminded me of a situation, a season in my life. I love the Lord, but in that moment, in that season, I was not allowing him to be Lord in my life. He was very gracious to me. He allowed me to have this very vivid dream, but he tenderly spoke to me in that dream, and he says, Levana, even though you think no one else sees your sin, I see your sin. I found that there is no valley too deep or no mountaintop experience too high where God cannot find me and meet me where I am. In challenging moments or in seasons of despair, he's there. He will always be with me. And so I know that I can trust in my God and in the promises that he has for me because he's faithful. Amen.
Levana actually attends the Libertyville campus right here, and she was here at the 9 a.m. And I know she's not present right now, but I just want to say thank you to her again for sharing. That's some beautiful words that she had to share with us, wasn't it? Amen. Amen. Well, good morning, Chapel family, both here at Libertyville, across all of our campuses. It is good to be with you. How are y'all doing? All right. Hey, as we bring our True North series to a close, we have a very, very special morning planned for you. We have a guest and friend of the chapel whose name is Gerard Long. Gerard, in many former lives, has been a very successful businessman. He's been a pastor. He's led Alpha USA Ministries, and he currently leads a ministry called Awakening to God. But more than that, Gerard and his wife, Jeannie's here with him as well. They are precious, precious people, and they have a tremendous story that they're going to share with you this morning. I will tell you, if there's just one thing I can say to describe what this weekend has been like for the chapel, it's that God's presence has been very, very close. And I actually think for each and every person in this room right now, God has something very special planned for you this morning. And he's going to touch your life in a way that you might not expect. And I would tell you that we are changing as a church this weekend. And so expect God to do big things this morning. Last thing I would tell you is that Gerard has a very super cool British 007 type accent, which makes him awesome to listen to. So with that being said, would you please warmly welcome Gerard to the platform?
Yeah. Amen. Bless you. Jamie, thank you so much, and Andy, and my good friend Scott. It's Jeannie and I consider it a wonderful privilege and honor to be with you this morning. as Jamie said, if he hadn't told you, I would have said to you, actually, I'm from Chicago. but no, we're from the UK. But we are very proud to say that we are now US citizens. Yeah. And we love to shout USA in the Olympics and other events. So it's great. It's a real blessing to be here. Well, I want to share with you this morning on a subject that not easy to talk about in a sense, because it's a subject of suffering. But I want to awaken hope in suffering. Some of you may remember that not so long ago there was a film called God's Not Dead. And they'd done a couple of sequels to it. But that first film was about an atheist professor, Jeffrey Radisson. And he had a debate with a young boy called Josh, who was very brave. He debated him on the whole topic of God's Not Dead. And pleased to say that Josh won the debate. But in the process of the story, we discovered that Jeffrey had once had a faith. But as a 12-year-old boy, his mother had got cancer. And he'd cried out to God from his broken heart that God would heal him, heal her. But when she wasn't healed and when she died, Jeffrey turned his back on God and decided he wasn't there and became a very aggressive atheist. And you might know someone called someone like Jeffrey in your own family, or maybe a friend you know who has turned right away from God and has become an atheist. You may be struggling here today with that whole thought of, well, hang on, if God's so loving and he cares for me so much, why have I got so much suffering in my life? Why has this come to me? When I was running Alpha, we were always doing asking surveys. It's a whole Alpha course is based on questions. And the number one question came back time and time again when we do these national surveys is, hey, if there's a loving God, why does he allow so much suffering in this world? It's the main reason that people don't believe in God. It's the main reason that people turn away from God. But what I want to share this morning is actually some words of truth that we've discovered in the deepest valley. Words from the Bible that actually produce great hope, because it opens up a bigger vision of God and a bigger vision of what this is all about. And out of that hope comes great joy. The Apostle Paul said, suffering, yet always rejoicing. And he went through, of course, so much suffering. Well, I don't know how you define suffering. I have a pretty broad definition of suffering, which is simply this. It's things in our lives that we don't want. Or it may be something that you want in your life that you haven't got. That would include a couple wanting to have a child, for example, and they can't fall pregnant. All of that would be included within that definition of suffering. So probably most people in this room would put up their hands and say, yeah, I've got something in my life I don't want. And of course, there's levels of suffering. And you may be here this morning, and maybe you've recently lost a loved one. And Jeannie and I understand that. And you may be wrestling with those thoughts. God, how could you have allowed that to happen? And we know that thought. We still struggle from time to time with those thoughts. We still wrestle with it. But we want you to know that God's got a word for you this morning. He wants to encourage you. The Hebrew word for comfort simply means to hold and to gently rock. And sometimes in the journey of suffering, that's all you need. You don't need any words. You just need to be held and to know that God loves you. Well, I've got a word for you this morning, but I've also got a word this morning of encouragement. And I know that God sent us here this morning. There's a word specifically for you. Because when Julia was sending me the introduction to the True North series, which I love, by the way, I love the idea of basing our lives on Scripture. It must be based on Scripture. The introduction included a young lady called Miriam. She's from the UK, actually. And she said, my life verse is Isaiah 61, verse 1. Jesus repeated these words when he started his ministry. You may remember it. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good news to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to bring freedom to the captives and release from darkness to the prisoners. Well, the ministry that Jeannie and I are now running, Awakening to God Ministries, that is our founding scripture. So a light started to come on. Okay, God, you're doing something here. And then Corey, who gave the word that particular day, He ended his message by reading out some words from his journal. Some of you may remember him doing that. It was not long after the Santa Fe school shootings. And his heart was broken. And he was saying, God, how do you want us to respond to this? And he wrote a message to Satan, so to speak. And he basically said, we're going to awaken. Every attack of evil, we're going to turn it around for good. We're not going to let evil win. Do you remember those words? And he said, we're going to awaken, church, and we're going to keep loving. Whatever happens, we're going to keep loving. We're going to keep laying our lives down, and we're going to see Jesus glorified here on earth. Whatever else happens in this broken world. And that's the whole message of Awaiting to God Ministries. That's what I want to share with you this morning, is that God is in the business of redemption. See the whole thing of the cross. He redeems us, he restores us, and he causes us to triumph. Praise God. Well, my story, I was brought up in a Christian home. Before I start, let me just give you my scriptures. I should start, shouldn't I, with the true North scriptures. So my truth North scriptures come from 2 Corinthians and chapter 4. I love that chapter because the Apostle Paul went through all sorts of suffering. He was sent at one stage a messenger from Satan to torment him. You remember he had a thorn in the flesh. So he went through, he knew what suffering was all about. And in chapter 4, he describes the suffering that he was going through, and it was horrendous. God used him incredibly, but he went through a lot of suffering, and he describes it. And he ends the chapter in these four verses. So he says it in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 4, he says, all this has happened, talking about his suffering, all this has happened so that the grace that is reaching more and more people. In other words, through my suffering, through the cross of Jesus Christ coming out of my life, I'm laying my life down and Jesus is being glorified. His grace is reaching more and more people. And the result of that grace is that thanksgiving will overflow for what? For the glory of God. You see, when you boil it all down, you ask the big question, what's this all about? Why are we all here? It is all about the glory of God. It's all about his glory, him being exalted. You may remember not so long ago, there was a book written by Rick Warren, The Purpose-Driven Life. Any of you read it? Do you remember what the first few words of that book were? It's not about you. It's not about you. It's not about us. It's all about his glory. And the Apostle Paul saying, hey, I'm here by God's grace, and as I lay my life down, the message of the cross is reaching more and more people. So he starts verse 15. Then he goes on to say, therefore, we do not lose heart. One of the things, when things don't go to plan, and by the way, that's when our faith grows, when the birds are out and the sun's out and there's blue sky and everything's great. That's great, but your faith doesn't grow in that time. Your faith grows when things don't go to plan. Then you have to go deep into God. So he's saying, therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we're wasting away, and one of the great things I want to say this morning is we're totally honest in our brokenness. One of the things that God hates is a facade. We try and pretend everything's great when it's not great. The world wants authenticity. So yeah, we're hurting. But yeah, outwardly we're wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. There's something more going on than the outward eye can see. God's doing something deep within us. For our light and momentary troubles. How can he say that? When you're in a lot of trouble, it doesn't seem light and momentary, does it? But he can say it as he goes on, because are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. You see, when you have a perspective, wisdom is having a good perspective on things. You make right decisions. When you bring the context of eternity into the equation, everything changes. Everything changes. And God says, whatever you're willing to lay your life down here, I'll return it 100-fold, now and through eternity. So the Apostle Paul is saying, hey, in the context of eternity, what I'm going through is light and momentary. It far outweighs them all. In Romans 8, verse 18, he says, our sufferings are achieving an eternal glory. It's an eternal glory. It goes on forever and ever. And then he ends up in verse 18. So we fix our eyes, and not on what is seen, but what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, what is unseen is eternal. So in these verses, it's helped for me to answer those two big questions of why is this going on? Paul answers it in these questions. And how do I get through? So let me share with you our story, if I may. And you'll see how those questions are answered as we go through. So I was brought up in a Christian home, strong Christian home in the UK. My parents knew the Lord, and we had a wonderful Christian home. Came to faith in Jesus as a young boy. I would say, though, that in that conversion, I knew Jesus as my Savior. I didn't know him early on as my Lord. And in my mid-teens, I went headlong into the world, and I got right into athletics, actually running, track. And 800 meters was my event, and I got to a reasonably high level, won the English and Welsh universities championship at 800 meters, ended up captaining the top track team in the UK. We had a certain guy called Sebastian Coe, who some of you may remember. He was a double Olympic champion. It helped having him in our team. He was a good runner. Well, thankfully, I was on a very selfish, self-centered path, and thankfully God in his mercy came to rescue me through a number of circumstances in that path. Partly, one of those is that I met a beautiful ballerina who is now my wife, Jeannie. And it was through that, yeah, that was good. That God came to me and actually spoke to me, and he spoke some very clear words to me. There was no one else around, it was just in my room. And my brother had written to me and said, God's got a plan for your life made out of perfect love. And I couldn't get those words out of my mind. And I'm sitting at my desk, and the Lord said to me, he said, Gerald, if you go my way, in other words, the plan that he's got for me, you may not get all the things you're wanting on the outside, but on the inside, I'll give you real love and real joy and real peace. I'll give you real life. And it was like a light came on inside. I got it. I realized that I could pursue all these things on the outside, and hey, I might get them. But if on the inside I'm miserable, what does it mean? It means nothing, does it? On the other hand, you can have nothing on the outside, but if you've got love and joy and peace on the inside, you've got everything. And I saw it, I got it. So from that point, I surrendered everything, opened all the doors of my heart. You know, we have little compartments in our lives, do you know that? So I gave over my ambitions. I surrendered my finance, had a business, said, put it on the altar, Lord, do with it whatever you want. My relationships with Jeannie and others, just put it on the altar. My future, all of them, Lord, you have it. It's all about you now. And as I did that, I was filled with this incredible love. I now know it's the Holy Spirit. Romans 5:5 said it's the love of God is poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. I was filled with the Holy Spirit. It was like this liquid love poured into my heart. And I fell head over heels in love with Jesus Christ. And all I wanted to do from then on was to tell people about him, because he was so amazing. So I went out and told everybody. It was an incredible time. I was completely transformed. Well, not long after that, Jeannie herself came to faith in Jesus, and we were married, praise God. And we felt God calling us to London. And so she was a ballerina. We both put I put my running, she put her dancing on the altar. We felt God call us to help to pastor a vibrant church in central London. But I was bivocational, which means I had another job, because we were joint pastoring. And my other job was banking. You might think that goes a bit strange. Hang on, how do you be a pastor and banking at the same time? Well, I was. And we saw God moving in the city in an amazing way. It was a powerful, powerful time. And we three children in London had a special time there. We thought we were going to be in London until Jesus came back or until we went to be with him. We really did. But as often is the case, God has other plans for us. And very clearly, he led us and guided us to the USA. And the bank asked me to launch a global product from New York. So we moved to New York. And then in 2003, HSBC, who I was working for, a big international bank, purchased Household Finance for $13.8 billion. And they asked me to do the integration. So we moved over here to Chicago. And I remember in 2004, we were living in Lake Forest. I was an international expat banker. And I said to Jeannie, I said, Jeannie, does it get any better than this? It was a beautiful morning. Sun was coming in. We loved Jesus with all of our hearts. We had a beautiful marriage. We had three wonderful children. We got a picture of them. So there we are. We had a beautiful, talented. They all know the Lord Jesus. We were seeing God move powerfully in our lives. We were running Alpha in our home. We loved to see people come to know the Lord, and we were seeing people come to the Lord in our home. We're living in this beautiful home in Lake Forest, going to a great church. God had blessed us amazingly so we could bless other people. Does it get any better than this? This is fantastic. We were on the top of the mountain. And there may be some here this morning, and that's how you are. You're on the top of the mountain. Everything's fantastic, and you're loving it. And I'd say to you, if that's you, great. Enjoy it. Have a wonderful time. But I would say this to you as well. There's a but in this. But prepare. Because Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. We live in a very broken world. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. How do you prepare? You prepare by getting as close to Jesus as you can, by getting his word inside you and basing your life and your decisions on the word of God. Remember the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, those who take these words of mine and put it into practice are like a person building their house upon a rock. God's word has to be right inside of us. Well, shortly after I said those words to Jeannie, trouble hit us. Trouble hit us. And it was as though Satan had been released to attack us in every area you can imagine. Now, we were still doing the same things. We're still praying the blood of Jesus over our lives and everything else as you do. But God was permitting. Again, God never causes evil. Sometimes he permits it for a bigger eternal plan and purpose. And the wheels started to fall off on every area of our life. And it came to the darkest and deepest area of sorrow and pain when at the end of 2005, our youngest son, Alex, he was 17 years old. He was a multi-talented boy, great athlete, amazing athlete. And he was trying to help a boy at school. He was trying to do good to a boy at school. And the boy was very troubled. And Alex ended up making a very bad decision. He took a drug with this boy. And this drug caused him to become delusional. We thought he was going to get over it, but on the 8th of November 2005, Alex crept out of our house and went down to Lake Forest Beach and committed suicide. I never try and describe the pain because you can't. There's no words to describe the pain of the loss of a child. And suicide brings a whole other dimension because it's the whole issue of blame. Why didn't you see it? Why didn't you do something about it? And it was like evil had been poured out on us. And it was horrendous. And my precious wife, Jeannie, went from shock to horror to bitterness and then to unbelief. She couldn't reconcile how a loving God we'd served for 24 years could have allowed this to happen in our lives. Well, what do you do when your life falls apart? Where do you go when you're hurting and in great pain? Well, what I did, and what I encourage you to do, not necessarily at the same times, I in the middle of the night, I used to get up and I used to go down to my study, and I literally used to cry out to God from the bottom of my stomach, and I wept. I want to tell you that today, especially the guys, it's okay to weep, all right? Jesus wept. He was the greatest man who ever walked on this earth. I wept. I cried out to God. I wrestled with the whole question of why God? But you know, in that time, the presence of God, Paul talked about the fellowship of his sufferings. The presence of God in that room was unbelievable. God came in that room. He was with me in that room. And he opened up for me deep truths, deep eternal truths. One of the things I saw so very clearly is about this throne of grace. You know, in Hebrews 4, verse 16, it talks about we go boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. When you are hurting, when you're in suffering, God wants us to draw near to him. Not to close the door, to come to him in brokenness and to be with him and let him come to us. Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, he'll comfort you. And I knew the comfort of the Holy Spirit. I poured out my pain. Our marriage at this point was on a thread because Jeannie, in her pain, her suffering, she hated herself. She hated me, and she wanted to try and leave me. And so she was pouring out her grief on me all through the day. And I knew God was calling me to love her. You know, God calls us men to lay down our lives for our wives, as Jesus laid down his life for the church. It's a high calling. And I knew Jesus wanted me to keep loving her, even though she was hating me. And so, but I came to the end of the day, you know, natural love only goes so far. And I come to the end of the day, I can't do this. I can't go on anymore. But I'd go to that throne of grace, and I'd pour out my heart to God. You know what he did? He took my pain, he took my brokenness, and in its place, he gave me his love. Isn't that a great exchange? And I'd wake up the next morning, and I had more love for Jeannie. And I could keep loving her, praise God. See, I have a very clear, simple definition of grace. It's just this, Jesus. It's just Jesus. Because you see, it's all in him. It's all in him. Whatever you need, do you need more strength? It's in him. Do you need more peace? He is our peace. Do you need more joy? He's our joy. Do you need more love? Yeah, more love. It comes from him. It's all him. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, he'll take from what is mine, that's his life, he'll make it known to you. So one of the deep truths I want to share with you this morning is wherever you're at, there's a throne of grace where God is waiting for you to come to him and pour out to him. And in its place, he pours in his grace. He pours in more of Jesus to you. The other thing that God did in those deep moments was he opened up eternity to me. And what part of the way he did that was that one of these days I was down there and I was weeping. And I felt an arm around me. It was so real. I felt an arm was around me. And I looked round thinking there was someone there. There wasn't anyone there. And yet there was. Do you know who it was? It was Jesus. I realized that Jesus was there. But do you know what he was doing? He was weeping with me. He was sobbing with me. And at that moment, I entered into something of God's suffering for this broken world. I came to understand that God feels every bit of pain and every bit of suffering. I don't know where you are with your pain, but I want you to know one of the things I want you to get hold of this morning is that God feels it with you. He's weeping with you. Now, you might be saying, well, hang on, if he's a God of love and he's all powerful and he's all sovereign, which he is, why doesn't he stop it? It's a good question. God's not afraid of your questions, by the way. But here's what I saw. I saw eternity. It says in Ecclesiastes 3:11, eternity is tied up in the heart of a man, and in my broken heart, eternity was released. And I saw eternity. I saw that this life here is but a vapor. The Bible says it's a vapor. It's a breath relative to eternity. C.S. Lewis got it. He said this, he said, our life here is a cover page of a never-ending story. A never-ending story. So here's the point. On the one hand, God's heart is broken. He feels every bit of pain that's going on in this very broken world. But on the other hand, when this age is over, this age of decision is over, the decision opportunity is ended. This is the time where we make decisions to receive Jesus Christ as our Savior and all that he's done on the cross for us, or to reject him, to turn away and say, no, I want to do my own thing. And on the basis of that decision, we'll determine where you end up in eternity, either with God or apart from God. Now you start to realize, hang on, the Bible says that God doesn't want anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. And every day, yes, God feels the pain, but every day is another day for more precious souls to be saved for eternity. Isn't that amazing? Every day, God's mercy, there's more people coming to be with him for eternity, praise God. Then you start to realize, by the way, what this great commission is all about. You start to understand why those early disciples laid their lives down, because they realized the significance of what God had called them to. And what he's called us to do as well, why we're here on earth. It's an awakening to a bigger vision of God. Well, while this was all going on, Jeannie was in a very dark place. And how you tend your heart through suffering is very important. She would say to you today, never close the door of your heart to God. Keep it open.
her door, the door of her heart had closed, and she would say that Satan had taken her to a very dark place. You see, in unbelief, when there's no God, there's no hope. And it was a terrible place she was in. It was so painful. And she was in darkness, but God in his mercy, we sang about his faithfulness earlier on, didn't we? In his faithfulness, he came to her. And she calls them glimmers of light, started to come to Jeannie. One day she came downstairs. It was a very cold day. She looked outside. It was all winter and freezing cold. But there was a red flash outside. She didn't know what it was. So she went out into the garden and looked, and it was a cardinal, a red cardinal. And this red cardinal was staring right at her. And she couldn't get out. She went inside. Every window she looked at, that red cardinal was still looking at her. And somehow God was in that red cardinal that day. And his glimmer of light was coming into her darkness. On another day, she wrapped up. She still used to enjoy her Starbucks coffee. There's one bit of enjoyment she had in her darkness. She wrapped up. She didn't want to meet anybody. When you're hurting so badly, she didn't want to meet anyone. She went on to Starbucks, and our dear friend George saw her. And he gently went up to her and just tapped her and said, "Jeannie, is that you?" And she had to admit it was. And he just said this. He said, "Jeannie, can I give you a hug?" Didn't say anything else. Didn't try to give us any theology. Sometimes you don't need theology. No, she just needed a hug. And he put his arms around her and he hugged her in. And God was in that hug that day. And a glimmer of light came into her darkness. Well, the big turning point for her was one day when she came downstairs and she felt prompted to take out Alex's suicide note. And with tears streaming down her face as she read this note, she felt God speak these words into her heart. And the words were just very simple. He just said, "Kick Satan in the teeth." Yeah, it was. Kick Satan in the teeth. Praise God. And she realized what God was saying was that, hey, ultimately Satan was behind what happened to Alex. And the best way you can kick him in the teeth is for my love to come pouring through your brokenness into a broken world. For you, yes, you're hurting, but for you to keep going on with God, to be faithful, and to allow my love to reach other people through you. And that was a turning point for her. So bit by bit, her faith was restored, our love was restored, praise God, and we went on serving God. Well, in this time, when I saw eternity early on, I'd always had a heart for the lost, but during that time, I was invited to go and lead Alpha USA. Well, Alpha is all about saving souls for eternity through this amazing tool that they've got. And so I thought, well, hang on, we've done over 50 Alpha courses. We've done it on our home, in the workplace. We've even done some in Waukegan Jail here. Wherever there's people, we used to try and do Alphas because we were seeing people come to know Jesus. Well, now they're asking me to do it full time. I'm thinking, wow, this is great. So I stepped down from my job in the bank and I went full time with Alpha to lead Alpha USA. And our precious daughter, Rebecca, she was 24 years old at the time. She was brokenhearted from her younger brother going home early. She was a great athlete, brilliant young lady. She did an MBA at Loyola University. But she was broken from Alex going home, and she couldn't go into the corporate world. She decided that she wanted to do everything she can to make sure every young person knew Jesus Christ. She couldn't stand the thought of any young person dying without knowing Jesus. And so she came and joined me in Alpha. And she became the national director for Alpha Youth and did a fantastic work with that. Well, we had the privilege. She was living, when she wasn't traveling, she was living with us, and we were so close. She was our best friend, Jeannie, my best friend. She was so very sweet and so loving. I used to share platforms with her. I used to do teaching up and down the country. We were teaching down in Southern California together in the beginning of May of 2014. And I had to go to London to a conference, an Alpha conference, actually. She stayed on down there with other engagements, went back to Chicago 2014, on the 7th of May. The next morning, the 8th of May, she went out for a run. And it was a very, very hot morning. She went down to the lake and tried to cool off. And we're not quite sure what happened. We knew she had blood sugar issues. But we think she fainted and she fell into the lake. And where she'd fallen in, she couldn't get out. She tried to swim round to a boat ramp to climb out. And in that process of swimming round, the water was 37 degrees. And she called out for help. The four people rang 911. They saw her calling for help. But she got hypothermia and she drowned. Jeannie's heart had almost broken. She had to have emergency surgery. She almost died of a broken heart after Alex. She knew she couldn't go on. And she decided to end her life. So she went up to Rebecca's room and she was going to take her life. And as she went into that room, God was in the room. And this white, she didn't see a figure, but the white, there was light in the room, an incredible light in this room. And God was there. It was like heaven came down for a time. And her eyes were open to the bigger eternal things. And God said several things to her, but one of the things he said to her was, Jeannie, your grief is not your own. Well, Jeannie came downstairs. I was sitting downstairs. I turned to look at her, and her face had been transformed. It was glowing. Remember Moses up the mountain in the presence of God. Jeannie, his face was changed completely. Now, interestingly, on that same day, one of our dear friends, Judy, just popped in to see us. We weren't seeing many people, but she popped in. The first thing she said to Jeannie was, Jeannie, what's happened to you? And then later that night, again, we weren't seeing many people. We just happened to be invited by our dear friends, Daniel and Alyssa. They're here this morning. We were going around for a meal with them. And Alyssa opened the door. You may remember. You can ask her afterwards if you don't believe me. And she stepped back and she said, Jeannie, what's happened to you? There were three proofs. Why is that important? Well, it's important because it's evidence of the fact that God can meet us in our deepest need and transform us. And we were transformed. Jeannie was transformed. So now we're holding our hands out like this, and our hearts are broken, both of us. But we know God's in this. We know God is working through this for his eternal plan and purpose. So we say to God together now, Lord, we don't like this. Who would like losing a child, two children? It's a bitter cup. But Lord, what we want to do is to be faithful to whatever you want to do through our lives to help other people. With the comfort that you've comforted us, we now want to comfort other people. And that's how we started Awakening to God Ministries. We knew that God wanted to work through our brokenness to reach out to other people. And we realize that you look through Scripture, you see how God does that. You saw it in Joseph. We loved that story. He didn't deserve what he got, 11 years in prison as a slavery and 2 years in jail. But he said to his brothers, if you remember that in Genesis 50, verse 20, he said, you intended it for evil. God intended it for good, for the saving of many lives. You see, we have a God who's able to turn round what Satan tries to destroy us with, turn it round for his glory and for his good. David's mighty men, you know, they started and they were broken. They became mighty warriors. That's how God works in our lives. He takes our brokenness. And he's able to turn it round for his glory. We have a big vision now with Awakening to God Ministries because we've got a big God. And here's our vision. Here's our vision is that through our brokenness, through our story, and what we find is people listen to us because of our story. Our vision is to reach 2 billion people with the good news of Jesus Christ. Praise God. So 1 billion for each of our children. You see, Satan picked on the wrong family when he came against us. And we're going to see God glorified through our brokenness now. And God has opened up unbelievable doors. So we have this incredible door that's opened for us in India. India is known as the land of the suffering. And so we're now ministering the good news of Jesus Christ to people who had been told, you're untouchable. They're called the untouchables. And they've been told that they're suffering because of something wrong they did in their old life. And they're told, you've got to go through this pain. And we're coming to them with the good news of Jesus Christ. And we're saying, no, you don't. No, you don't. There's a God in heaven who loves you so much that he sent his precious son to die for you. And we're here to tell you about God's love. And we're sharing the good news of Jesus. We've given our calendars out. Every day has got a scripture on it. And it's been translated into their language. It's been in 60,000 homes now. So hundreds of thousands of people are hearing the good news of Jesus. And we're boring wells for them. We're giving them fresh water. We're giving them mosquito nets. We're giving them food and medical aid. They're hearing about Jesus. Praise God. He picked on the wrong family when he came against us because we've got Jesus inside of us. You see, at the end of Isaiah 61, the beginning of Isaiah 61, he talks about oaks of righteousness. There'll be a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. You take a little acorn, and you think that's not much, but you put it in the right environment, and it grows into a big oak tree. Praise God. And God says, I'm going to take the broken, and I'm going to take the poor, and I'm going to take the captives, and I'm going to take the prisoners, and they will be the ones who build up the ancient cities, and they will be the ones who build up the highways. So if you're suffering today, if you're broken, I'm telling you, God wants to use you powerfully. His life is inside of us. What life is it? It's the life of Jesus. Supernatural power of the Holy Spirit releases that into a broken world. Praise God. Hallelujah. Do you know the World Health Organization last year announced that the biggest illness in the world now is depression? The greatest cause of death for those under 35 is suicide. Both of those are caused by hopelessness. Hopelessness. And we have a message for this broken world that there's great hope. There's great hope in Jesus Christ. Not only for now, but through eternity. Does God want to use us? You bet he wants to use us. Well, as Jeannie was clearing up Rebecca's things, we had hundreds of messages come from all around the world telling us how much Rebecca had touched their lives. People had been transformed by her walk with Jesus. And Jeannie discovered her journals. And she said, hey, people had said to us, don't let her legacy fail. You've got to pass it on. And so Jeannie realized that God was calling her. And through a lot of brokenness, she wrote this book, Running from the Heart. And it's a book for everyone to live bold, courageous lives for Jesus, just like Rebecca did. She had struggles. She had things that were hard when her youngest brother passed away. She had struggles. But hey, she walked with Jesus. She put him first against everything else. And so we encourage you to take one of those, to be encouraged, and buy them for someone else who maybe is struggling. We want to awaken. I remember when we Corey's words, it said, hey, the church, it's time to awaken. Praise God. To stand up. Good is going to overcome evil. Where does it come from? Deep within us by the Holy Spirit. It's the life of Jesus inside us. And then we've also got, Satan thought he could destroy our marriage as well. He thought he could destroy our marriage. And he wasn't going to. He never did because of Jesus Christ. And we've now done an e-learning course. It's called Triumph of Marriage. Triumph of Marriage. You see, God wants to continually lead us in triumph. Whatever you're facing now, we're destined to triumph in Jesus Christ. Isn't that great? Destined to triumph. So we've done this e-learning course. I encourage you to take it. You go online. It's triumphofmarriage.com. There's a coupon code that's CHAPEL. You can remember that. It's a 20% coupon code. All the funds go to help the poor. Praise God. We're going to turn it around. But we believe that God wants to take Christian marriages several levels higher. From our observation, so many marriages are just sort of flying over like crows over the treetops. We were never made to be like crows. We were made to be like eagles, to fly really high. And so God wants to take our marriages so much higher. Because Jesus said this, he said, by your love one for another, they'll know that you are my disciples. And the world may not read the Bible, but they read the Christians. And when they see our marriages shining for Jesus, it's a great testimony and a witness for him. So would you pray for us, if you will? Pray for our son, our remaining son, Ben. He's in London. He has Crohn's disease, actually. So pray for him. And pray that God will give us courage and strength. And I pray this for you too as well. Courage and strength to be faithful to what God's called us to do. Mother Teresa, she never prayed for success. She just said, I pray for faithfulness. Whatever God's put in your hand, I don't know whether you've got brokenness this morning. I don't know whether you've lost a loved one or your marriage is in a bad way or relationships failed, health, finance, whatever it might be that's causing you pain, that you would be faithful to keep loving. That's what God calls us to do. Keep loving. Keep laying your life down. Jesus said, you follow me, take up your cross daily. And boy, sometimes it does hurt. But you can know joy in it as well. And you can know peace in it as well. And you can know love in it. This is supernatural living, yeah? Praise God. So thank you for being so patient, for listening. Allow me, if I may, just to close with a prayer. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you so much for your wonderful love for us. And Lord, I just pray that you give us all courage. Courage, Lord, to do the things that you've called each one of us to do and to be the people that you want us to be. We thank you for your provision, Lord. We thank you for your grace coming to us through your Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word, Lord. It's a rock to us that we can stand upon. And Lord, I just pray that all of us would be sensitive to you. I just want to just wait a moment now on the Holy Spirit just to see what he may want to say and to do. I do believe the Lord is speaking this day, over this weekend, about marriages, speaking for us men that we were called to lay our lives down for our wives as Jesus laid his life down for the church. So Lord, help us men to do that, Lord. Help us get a bigger vision, I pray, Lord, a bigger understanding of the eternal picture of what this is all about, and that we would be faithful to whatever you ask us to do. Lord, be glorified. That's what we want, Jesus. We want you to be lifted up, your name to be lifted up to this, in this broken world, that many, many more souls will be rescued for eternity. We pray this all in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Amen.
Amen.